Patience. So I figured that's something you've learned, you know, having a pastor like me that likes to talk, but we can always learn more. So if you want to take a look at 2 Peter, we're still in there. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, right at the beginning. We will have some things on the PowerPoint we'll have up there to emphasize, but it's always good to have your own Bible, if you can, to mark things, or if you want to even look some other things up, or see some of the surrounding scripture of what we're going to be looking at. It's just, we're looking at, that we've done this since the beginning of the year, and we just kind of felt like it had us here for a while, for us to learn this section of scripture. And we've decided for the Lent season that we're going to look at all the things that he has told us that we need to add to our faith. That faith is the foundation. We have to have faith to start, but that we need to add to that. There's things that need to be put in place in addition to that. The thing is that And we talked about this last week. I just want to re-emphasize this, that we start with faith. And that's what Peter says. We start with faith, and that is an encounter with the living God. It's not just joining a church. You know, what's the saying? Joining a church or going to church doesn't make you Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. But faith comes on when we have an encounter with God that causes a change in our heart, and it revolutionizes what we value and where we find happiness. We now value and have a completely different perspective and view of the world. And it's not just something that we add. Remember, Peter didn't say add your faith, but he said, add to your faith. So faith isn't something that we just add to our life. You know, it's not like I belong to the gym and I belong to the beach club and I belong to BJ's and, oh yeah, I belong to Jesus too. It's a little more significant than that. And Peter wants us to understand that, and Jesus wants us to understand that. I think it's a really familiar scripture for a lot of people. Where Jesus says that faith in him is not something, or I'm not just something that you add to your life, but he says, I am your life. Remember this scripture, very familiar, where Jesus just says, I am the truth and the life, or and the way and the life. I'm your life. So in other words, without Jesus, we don't have the truth to God. We don't have the way to God. You don't even have your very life, because he's the resource that made your very existence possible. So Peter doesn't say add faith to your life, because that is your life. He says add it to your faith. So he wrote it like this, and this is the scripture that we're kind of concentrating on for Lent. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. What? Goodness was the first thing that we talked about a few weeks ago. Then we talked about adding knowledge, not just any knowledge, but knowledge of God. Peter talks about experiential knowledge as well as knowledge from the Word of God. And then last week we talked about self-control. And today we're going to look at this next thing that he says to add, which is perseverance. Some scriptures use other words for this. One uses patience. Another one uses endurance or steadfastness. It's really kind of a tough one, because what Peter is asking us to add is this idea of I think we said a few weeks ago, one way to put it is patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline. This idea of endurance, to persist over a long period despite difficulties and problems. This steadfastness is a way that other translations put it, remaining firm and unwavering in your purpose. It's this idea sort of like you have this weight on you. And you just keep holding it up, and it's like you're holding up under that weight because we need to have this endurance. And it's just like, you know what, I'm going to keep holding it up a little longer. I'm going to keep holding it up a little longer. I got to keep holding it up a little longer. And after a while, sometimes, just like, you know what, you just want to say to God, just get rid of the weight. Because then I can relax, and then I can take it easy. But the thing is that this thing of perseverance and steadfastness, Peter says we need to add it to our life, and you're not going to add it unless there's something that is pressing down on you, some type of difficult situation that's going to require endurance to get through it. And the thing is, our character isn't developed any more than your physical body isn't developed unless there's some kind of resistance that you're giving it, whether it's a machine or weights itself, exercises that use the resistance of gravity to build your muscle. Unfortunately, our character isn't built either unless we have things that come into our life and create these difficulties or these resistance to build it up. It doesn't change the fact, though, that sometimes you just feel like quitting, right? And just throwing in the towel. You want to collapse. And so most of us pray. I mean, let's be honest. I don't really pray like Peter tells us to. He says to make every effort to add this to your life. And I don't really find myself like praying, God, I thank you that I've got these difficult situations because now I'm going to be able to build patience and perseverance. Just keep them coming on, God. I don't really pray that way. Instead, I'll pray, God, just get rid of these circumstances. Get rid of the weight. And the reason is because I'm not concerned about what Peter says I need to be concerned about. The Bible tells me what I really need to be most passionate about and making every effort towards is the development of my patient and persevering character. But I'm more passionate and prayerful about developing my comforts. And that's, quite frankly, what I pray much more passionately for. I'm praying for God to make things more comfortable rather than develop my character. And meanwhile, Peter says that's what I need to be making every effort for. I'm really frustrated. I think we all are when things just don't go right, right? Hardship and something takes a detour. And the reason I get so frustrated is because I'm not really passionate about building these things. I want my life to be comfortable. And I just want all the other stuff to go away. But God says, well, Greg, what is it that you really want for yourself? Do you want to become more like me? Or do you just want things to go easy? Do you want to build the things of eternity or the temporary things? God says, Greg, I want you to be a good, knowledgeable, self-controlled, persevering. I mean, you can't even get through it without laughing, right? Yep, you put your name in there if you want to, you know, really like, Greg is such a good, knowledgeable, self-controlled, persevering. Already Tina's getting sick. I mean, then you put on brotherly kindness, and he's loving, and all these things, but that's what God wants us to work towards, and they don't come by sitting on the couch and eating popcorn. Real life trials that challenge your faith. And you know, Those of you familiar with the Bible, you know what we're going to have to look at. Now, that scripture that none of us really like, but we know we need to look at it once in a while. James. Right? James just nails us on this. Let's look at it. James, Jesus' brother, is believed to be, wrote this, said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops," there it is, "perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature," not comfortable, but mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's God's goal for your life. If I'm really into developing my ability to persevere and spiritual character, then James says we can even be joyful about circumstances that come into my life that are going to help me to develop these things. I haven't really pulled that one off yet. But James says it's true. I'm a lot more, if it was my scripture, it would be counted all joy when all kinds of new, wonderful, easy, and comfortable things come into my life. But I want you to notice something here. Did you notice that James doesn't say suffering alone produces maturity? Difficult circumstances by themselves are going to wipe you out. You'll tank in a second. But what he's saying here is that difficult circumstances that are somehow experienced in faith, once again, faith is the prerequisite, have the potential to produce something. It's not just the trials that produce maturity, but when they test our faith. No, keep it back there. When they test our faith, go back to the James one. When they test your faith, these trials, that's when they begin to produce something. So it can't happen apart from faith, or all it does is produce depression and exhaustion. But when there's faith, there's something, when God is in the midst, when we look to Him, there's something greater that He can do. Listen, all experiences of suffering as a Christian, somebody of faith, whatever the suffering is, whether it's persecution, whether it's just being sick, whether it's you have an accident, all of these things, these trials, they all threaten our faith in the goodness of God and tempt us to leave the path of obedience, don't they? Every time something like this happens, boy, I mean, come on, how many times have you heard somebody say, "I don't believe in God anymore"? Why? Well, you know what? My dad got cancer. You couldn't believe the kind of suffering he had. How could God be good? I don't believe in Him anymore. The many trials of their life tested their belief in the goodness of God, and as a result, they were tempted and took the bait to leave the path of obedience and ask God for a divorce. And the whole thing is that they didn't really lose their belief, right? They just got mad at God. And it's almost like this is their way of getting back at God. It's not like they don't believe He doesn't exist anymore, but it's His goodness they're doubting, and they don't like the way He's doing things, so they've asked for a divorce. What makes the difference? What can make the difference that determines in the midst of your trials of all kinds, James says, all kinds of trials, what's going to make the difference whether they make you bitter and you want to just get off the path of obedience? What's going to make the difference whether you're going to ask for a divorce because of these trials in your faith, or it's going to make you more mature in your faith. Look at the scripture here in James. If you allow it to develop perseverance. Perseverance is the link between all the trials that you're having and becoming mature in your faith. You've got to have that link of perseverance. And that's why Peter says it's so vital. No matter what suffering is, all kinds of suffering, whether somebody is intentionally hostile towards you because of your faith, and it happens. You know, once they know that you're trying to take this path, whatever your circumstance is, maybe at the job, the guys like to tell, you know, certain off-color jokes just to see if they can get a rise out of you, or whatever it is, you know. And so there's that kind of suffering that we have. Certain other places of the world, we're talking about real suffering and hostile activity towards people of faith. And that's termed in the Bible as persecution. That's one form of suffering. Sometimes you just get sick. Sometimes you go to the doctor. Maybe there's somebody here. You've gone to the doctor, and man, he has told you something you did not want to hear. And there's suffering involved. Or maybe you've had an accident, and it is debilitating. They are all intended by Satan for the destruction of your faith. But when we allow them to develop perseverance, James says they become governed by God to mature your faith. Satan wants to use all the troubles you're having in your life right now. Listen now. Satan, Bible talks about him. It's not some fictitious thing. Jesus talked about him. And the Bible makes us to understand that Satan wants to take all these difficulties in your life and destroy your faith in the goodness of God. But God wants to take all these difficulties in your life and mature your faith in God. As Joshua said, choose this day who you're going to serve. There's something deeper and a joy, a satisfaction in God when we can persevere through. The determining factor again is perseverance, this God-given ability to not quit. Peter says you need to make every effort to add this to your faith, because without it, you'll leave your faith. You'll just tank under the trials and leave Jesus completely. But if you choose to quit, Christ accomplishes his loving, purifying purpose by overruling Satan's destructive attempts. In your trial, Satan is aiming to destroy your faith, but if you persevere, Christ will use your weakened condition to demonstrate his power. Isn't that what Paul said? Satan's trying to use these difficulties you have in your life, but if you'll give them over to God, he's going to take this weakened situation that you have. You're just getting wiped out, and God says, you know what? When you're totally wiped out and you just feel like you're not going to make it, that's what gives me opportunity to demonstrate my power and my grace in your life. Paul had some kind of physical ailment. We believe that's probably what it was. Nobody knows for sure what it is because he doesn't tell us. And let's face it, if you had Paul's life, all right, you've been whipped all these times, you've been beaten, you've been shipwrecked, the list goes on and on. I'd say you're probably going to have a few physical ailments. You're probably going to have some arthritic feeling in your back, your knees might be a little creaky. I mean, there's stuff that's going to bother you, but whatever it is, Paul just called it a thorn in the flesh. But he didn't just call it that. He called it this too. Check it out. You know what he called it? a messenger of Satan to torment me. All right? So next time you throw out your back, okay? It's kind of a cool title, right? All right, you know, you mess up your knee or something, and you come into church, man, and you're just like, and somebody says, oh, what's the matter? What happened? Oh, Satan sent a message to me to torment me. I mean, that's what Paul called it, right? A message from Satan to torment me. But the interesting name that he also gave it, let me just say this first. This thing that comes on you, whatever it is, I mean, we all got them, you know? Whether it's a backache that's hurting, your knee is hurting, worse yet, maybe somebody has hurt you. And you're emotionally hurt. Satan wants to use that stuff to torment you and get you mad at God and doubt his goodness and destroy your faith, just like he tried to do with Paul. But Paul also referred to this thorn in the flesh as something else, not just a message from Satan to torment him, but he also said, it's been sent to keep me from becoming conceited. Only God could do. God can take an attack of Satan and turn it around and use it for his glory. Maybe even putting somebody up on a cross and killing them. And he took this ailment of Paul, and let's face it, you know, I'd love to have that experience to just have such a close relationship with God that, you can pray over somebody. Paul prayed over people. The blind saw, the lame walked, the dead were raised, but it's like, it's got to be pretty tough when you're used to that magnitude, setting up churches across the then known Roman world, that it's almost like, you know what, one of the worst diseases we could ever get is pride, and he says, you know what, God's probably given me this humbling disablement to just keep me from becoming conceited. Point being, Paul was a man of perseverance, and because he added to his faith perseverance, patient, enduring perseverance to his faith, the result is he experienced Christ overruling Satan's attempt to use his trials to destroy his faith. Instead, it matured his faith. And matured him as a person. I just want to give you a few reasons why I just think that Peter says it's so important to make every effort to add perseverance to your faith. Here's one. These aren't exhaustive. These are just some ideas about perseverance. It's the ability to honor commitments when honoring them becomes difficult. Is that becoming a dinosaur in today's culture or what? I mean, as soon as it gets tough, man, people quit. I don't know if it's the job, whatever it might be on the workforce, school, relationships. I mean, this is such a huge thing when it comes to marriage, isn't it? It almost seems like in certain instances you see these things, and it's like we better just change it you just stay committed to each other for better and better, and for rich and richer. You know, every couple starts off making deep commitments at their wedding. And I often say, one of the lines, not always, but sometimes I just like to say, you know what? Every wedding ceremony creates the possibility of a marriage. Because it's after all the celebration and the hormones die down and all the honeymoon and all that stuff is over that you're going to have some decisions to make. And are we going to really create genuine love that takes place when we don't have all of these other things? Listen, romance is a wonderful thing, but I always say it's the training wheels for the bike, and eventually they have to come off once in a while. And then we have to understand this thing about perseverance, the ability to honor commitments when honoring them are difficult or become difficult. I remember I was talking to one couple, and they had been married a half a century. Now, the funny thing is I'm over halfway there. You know, it's just weird. I remember my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, you know. That's such an awesome thing. I said, Dad, what, you know, certain lines that my dad said, he's been gone for years now, but you always remember. And the one that I always will remember, at the 50th, 1999, that was our 50th anniversary, 49 to 99, I said, Dad, 50 years, that's a half a century, man. It's a long time. And Dad says, not nearly as long as it would have been without your mother. That's what it's supposed to be. I remember another couple married for 50 years, and they started to experience some trials. And the wife said that they had laid down, and they were in bed, and it just kind of reduced to roommates. I mean, you know, we're older, but still, can't there be some romance? And she just said to her husband, don't you remember when we were younger and you used to snuggle closer to me and hold my hand? And so, you know, a little disgruntled, he moves over and he holds her hand. You know, and then they're hanging out, and then he, you know, she's getting a little more antsy again, and he just looks over at her. He says, you know, when we were younger, you used to snuggle up close to me, and a little disgruntled again, but he snuggled up close to her. And then he says, she goes, this probably was the thing that, you know, was a little over the, she said, and you used to nibble on my ear. And at that point, he threw the covers off the bed, and she felt a little hurt. She said, now what's the matter? He goes, I'm going to get my teeth. Hey, let me tell you something. It's one thing to be committed when there's the hormones are raging, there's romance in the air, you look good, and there's a smell of perfume in the air. But it's another thing, man, when you go to nibble on the ear and there's a hearing device in it, okay? The air smells like Bengay and gas, all right? And you have to get up to get your teeth. That's something else. That is perseverance. The ability to honor commitments when honoring them becomes difficult. Is this what we need today, people? That's what we need. God, help us to learn how to honor commitments when honoring them becomes difficult. Because that's when you find out if you've got this patient, persevering endurance that has the ability to honor commitments. All right, I'm going to give you another reason why I think Peter says we need to add patience or perseverance to our faith. Patience. You know what patience does is it requires the humble recognition of our limits. I saw this years ago. I never forgot it. I said, man, that's so true. Because patience, one aspect of patience requires waiting, doesn't it? You're going to have to wait, and waiting is something by its nature that really only the humble can do, at least only the humble can do it with grace. And to wait for something is to recognize, I'm not in control. I have to wait. I'm not calling the shots. The timing's not up to me. One way I've heard it put is a direct correlation in our society between status and waiting. And the higher your status, the less you have to wait, right? The president doesn't have to wait for anything. I mean, they'll shut down the parkway for him. Wherever he has to go, you don't have to wait. But when you do have to wait, it reminds you that you're not in charge. I'm the creature. He's the creator. he is up there, I'm down here, there's only one God and it's not me. But the thing is we're not just waiting around, people. We're waiting on God. We're waiting on God. And when we do that, he develops us rather than Satan destroying us. I think that was in Purpose. You know, the trials in your life, Satan wants to use to destroy you. But God wants to use them to develop you. So we can trust God's wisdom, his timing, and we can wait with confidence. And therefore, the single most important activity for people waiting on God is prayer. That's what I believe. Prayer is the form that active Christian waiting takes. Been reading this John Piper book, very cool, and he had a line in there talking about prayer, and he explained the difference in a quick line, the difference between Uncle Sam and Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of them, but the one he said is that Uncle Sam is not going to enlist you unless you're totally healthy, but Jesus won't enlist you unless you're sick. That made me feel qualified. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Prayer is a way that we let God know we're sick and we need a physician. I said last week, prayer is the vehicle that Jesus said, ask what you will and I'll give it to you because he's going to be glorified and I'll also give it to you because it's going to bring joy. It brings glory to God and joy to his people are preserved in this act of prayer. And we said that we want to do this at least once every quarter. Well, I make a push for us to try and make as much effort to come out here for a prayer meeting as we do for Sunday morning service. The prophet Isaiah said that this isn't supposed to be necessarily a house or a house. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, I know, again, there's realities about, you know, being able to get here in the middle of the week. So all I've asked is once every 3 months, can we try and just make a concerted effort to come out here and make this a house of prayer? And you did it. You did it in January. I mean, I was floored by how everybody came out. The next quarter is coming up. We're going to do it the week of Holy Week. It's going to be April 3rd. We'll just come out here Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And there's actually this splat we have for the junior high kids happens to be that night. So if you have junior high kids, come out anyway, and they can hang out and do their thing while we have time for prayer up here. I just want you to, and we'll even provide babysitting. If you need babysitting, we'll have a few kids to perhaps watch your infants. If you could just come out, and Jesus said, could you not just watch with me 1 hour? Because you know what? Patience requires waiting, and the single most important activity we could do while we wait, certainly in Holy Week too, as we head in to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's just come in here and take advantage of some corporate prayer for an hour. April 3rd, make a note. Now, here's the last thing I want to say that's important about perseverance. And you know what it is? There's a lot of things that I can't offer God. I mean, there's gifts and talents I just don't have. You know, I can't offer to lead worship. Well, I could, but I don't think you would appreciate it too much. I don't have the gift to fix a car or build a house. I've never written a book. I'm so glad that God has gifted the body of Christ with people that can do these things and are such a blessing, but you know, nobody has it all. And there's plenty of gifts. I'm sure we all have lists of stuff we wish we could do, you know? I mean, I wish I could sing like Joel. That'd be so cool. You know, But it's not going to happen. God did. So there's stuff that we just don't have and we can't give. But I'll tell you what. There's one thing that everybody can offer and everybody can give, and that's perseverance. Just the determination to say, I'm not going to quit. And look at how important it is. This is the last thing I want to say. Perseverance is a gift we can offer, all of us. And guess what? Spiritual transformation doesn't happen without it. It's one thing we can all just say, you know what? I may not be able to do this. I may not be able to do that. But you know what? I can give it my all, man. I am determined. I'm not quitting. I'm going to pray this thing through, and I'm going to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm just going to refuse to quit. I just put this down here at the end. And Joel, why don't you come on up? Perseverance is required in order for any of the character it's about to manifest. Think about it. These things are not going to happen unless you persevere and you endure and you're diligent. I don't think it's any accident that he put this trait right in the middle of the whole thing, starting with faith and going through. And right in the middle is this thing called perseverance, because perseverance has to be at the center of all of these, or they're not going to happen. There's not going to be any transformation. They're not really going to be put into our life and become part of who we are without this thing of just determining that we're not going to quit. Persevering, the determination to stick it out. If you don't do that, gang, it's lights out. I'm just going to end with this. The writer of Hebrews said it this way. Let's just throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's just run with perseverance. Whatever it is, whatever Satan's trying to entangle you with and destroy your faith in the goodness of God, just run the race and let God use it to mature you rather than destroy you, and run this race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We're running a communion class for kids right now. And I always say, you know, we need to be careful that we don't always think this is the real stuff that's going on here, and we kind of shove the kids into a room somewhere so we can do the real stuff. They're learning about what I feel is one of the most significant things in Christianity, understanding what Jesus said. As often as we do it, we need to remember the magnitude of what he did. And today is their last class, and I hope you can make next Palm Sunday, because they're going to celebrate their first communion. I think it's important for their spiritual family to be here for that celebration. But I get a chance, and I'm just going to go in there now and talk with them a little bit and conclude their last class. And I'm going to just leave you with Joel, which I know you're thankful for, because he's leading the worship, not me. And maybe just let God give you strength. I don't know if some of you are wiped out in this whole thing with perseverance. It's just exhausting for you to hear. That's good, because it's in that weakness that God can use that platform, and just let his strength present itself. Amen. So spend some time in worship.